Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went. Hey everybody.
Welcome to Off Script.
A podcast that compares books and movies.
And today, we're comparing 12 Years a Slave.
We sure are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Allie.
And I'm Bree.
Yeah, season 8, episode 5.
Yeah.
Wow, chugging along.
I know, slowly but surely.
Yes.
Got this. I have faith in us.
Yep. I don't know, a picture. I guess, you know what? I've been wanting to do this. So the reason, y'all, for our newer listeners, that we even started painting a picture is because of the very, very first few episodes of our show. I always said, I love it when my podcasters paint a picture and I can imagine where they're sitting and how, what they're doing. And so we used to do that, but naturally it was the same thing. We were sitting in the same spot doing the same thing. So that's how it evolved into just a, here's an update in our lives. But you know what? We're different than we have been in previous seasons.
We're different.
So we have a different setup and we've been doing this. We did it for about half of last season. And then it's just easier. It's not as fun. It's definitely more fun to record right next to you, but
I know for sure it's kind of sad, but
you know,
the only way you and I will ever be able to do this is if we do it this way.
Exactly. So you guys, we are both in our own houses,
mm-hmm.
With our own computers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even see each other. I wish we could see each other.
I know. It's because this is just such a better format than Google. Yeah. So,
no, I get it.
Unfortunately, we don't see each other.
We do not.
Maybe so it's like we're talking to a screen.
I know. If we ever kick off video recording.
I plan on it. I just plan on it when I have a bigger space. I don't know why, but the recording video podcasts in my current apartment doesn't feel like something that I want to even try to tackle.
No, that's fine. I'm down for whenever, but
yeah,
that's our legit painting you a picture.
Mm-hmm. And I have a cat that you sometimes can hear, and she has some dogs that you can sometimes hear, and children.
Yep. Luckily, you're all asleep right now.
I wish Loki was asleep. He was asleep for the minisode, but now he's awake. So we'll see how this goes.
But Luna, oh my gosh. Okay, so my mother-in-law got Tyler this, like, I have to look it up on Amazon now. This, like, little Tykes bouncy ball thing that you can sit on and bounce.
Mm. Okay.
Luna got it.
Oh, no. Does he know?
No, he doesn't.
Oh.
I just went in my room to, like, while we were, like, I put him to bed. And I was like, mm-hmm. Luna. So I went and threw it away. And I'm just going to kind of wait for him to ask about it.
And then you'll be like, I have no idea.
No.
Where did it go?
I know. Because I'm like,
that sucks.
But I don't want to spend money.
I was gonna say, don't do it. Don't do it until he starts asking.
Okay. Technically, we have one at my mom's house. It's just smaller. So this one actually fit him. And he loves it. Maybe I'll get him even a bigger one. Oh, that one's bigger. If I'm going to spend that much money, I'm going to get him the bigger one.
Might as well.
Anyways, all right. There's a bonus picture for y'all.
Okay.
We're ready to dive in?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, you guys.
Oh, fuck. What? Loki is playing with his stupid plastic spring. Did I tell you about the plastic spring?
No.
I guess we're getting a third picture here.
Okay.
The night before the night I slept for 12 hours, I got home and I got into bed at my regular time I got into bed to watch, I think it was P.S. I Love You. And there was something hard in my bed and I was like, what the heck? And I grab it. And it's a toy that I had gotten with like one of the first packs of toys that I ever got for Loki. And when I saw it, I thought it was the dumbest thing ever. It's like a bunch of springs stuck together to make like just a conglomerate of spring looking things. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Because it's not like a spring that actually bounces. It's just like a wire that's curly. Okay.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God, because I hid all of them in my little stairs that I have that has a little compartment. Because I was like, these are dumb. He's never going to play with these. Well, because I was gone for a long time, I can't remember why I was gone for a long time, but I was gone for a long time. And he went into the stairs and got every single toy out of the stairs that I had hidden. Gosh. Yeah. And apparently was playing with the spring in my bed. I was like, okay, this is weird. I need to hide these again because these toys are stupid. Like, but this is not something he's into because he loves balls and things that make noise, right? So I toss it out of my bed and he chases after it and proceeds to play with it for 3 hours straight. Didn't take a break.
Don't you dare hide this toy, Mom.
Basically, he like didn't eat, didn't get water, didn't go to the bathroom, just played with this straight. And I was like, what the hell? Then the night that I slept for the 12 hours, I did wake up at like 11 to go to the bathroom. And I woke up because he was playing with it. Who knows how long he had been playing with it, but he was playing with it. And this toy is a toy that he now, once he plays with it, he plays with it for 2 to 3 hours on end.
Oh my God. And
guess what he's currently playing with right now? So
I can't hear him. So
that's good because he goes crazy with it. He's currently at my feet playing with it, pushing it all around and hunting it and chasing it. And he keeps running into things. So I'm thoroughly surprised you can't hear him, but I will take it.
Okay, good. I can hear little bits, but not. It's not like his.
But it's like normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Hopefully he just chills.
Cool. All right.
Okay.
Well, sounds good. Okay, you guys. Today we do have trigger warnings. This whole.
It's a very heavy book movie. It's
very heavy. Takes place way back when slave trade and yuck. All that time. So it's a hard one. But we are going to do our best to be respectful and tell the story, how it was written, and share the movie, how it was made.
Yes.
Okay. So our synopsis is, in the years before the Civil War, Solomon Northup, a free black man from upstate New York is kidnapped and sold into slavery in the South. Subject to the cruelty of one malevolent. Thank you. Owner, yes. He also finds unexpected kindness from another. As he struggles continually to survive and maintain some of his dignity, Then in 12 years, the disheartening ordeal Then in the 12 years of the disheartening ordeal, a chance meeting with an abolitionist from Canada changes Solomon's life forever. Man, that was the hardest I've struggled in a long time.
I think it's because you know it's a true story, so you wanted to get everything like perfect.
I wanted it to be right, and it's
boy, yes. Did you mess it up. No.
Yes. So kidding. It is a true story of Solomon Northup and his true autobiography.
Yeah, it makes me so sad for him.
I know, I agree. Our director is Steve McQueen, and our screenplay writer was John Ridley. The book came out in 1853, and the movie came out October 18th, 2013. That's a 160-year difference.
Also, there is a older version of the movie, but we are doing the one that was Oscar-winning and more recent.
Yes, that is a fun fact of mine.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Let me just steal your fun fact.
That's okay. All right, what'd you do first?
I saw it first.
I read it first.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And what are your thoughts?
So the only reason I had seen it forever ago was because I knew it was nominated for an Academy. And this is when I used to like, it was before I ever got to go and do the, like, watch all of the Oscar nominees in the theater. But I myself tried to go and see whichever ones I could in a theater. And so that was why I went to see it. And I went into it going, God, this is going to be too sad. I'm not even going to enjoy it. But I want to see if this is worth its salt. And very quickly, I was actually very intrigued by the story because I'm someone who likes stories where it's almost hard to believe. Like, obviously this isn't hard to believe, but it sucks so much that it's hard to believe, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
how could people have been like that type of thing?
How could people have been like that type of thing? How could this poor guy who was free end up getting back in that situation where he was never in that situation to begin with. Right. And so I then like got invested in the story and invested in like, oh God, I hope he gets out of this. Obviously, based off of the title, I should have known he got out of it. But, you know,
I mean, we don't know how he got out of it. He could have died.
He could have died. Yeah, that's true. True.
But he did not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I it's not my normal cup of tea because I just prefer happy and fun and everything. Mm-hmm. But it is such a heavy book, but it's a very enlightening book and a book that I feel like, and movie, that I feel like we need to be reminded of so that we don't fall back in patterns. And so I appreciate the opportunity to read and watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why do we pick it?
Well, I am embarrassed to say that we have never celebrated Black History Month in the 4 years we have been doing this now. Once I realized that, I was like, oh my God, I was just being a stupid girl who was like, ooh, we should make Valentine's Day the main theme. And so I'm going to do better about picking at least a story that represents Black history in some way, shape, or form from here on out. And because I enjoyed the movie so much, I wanted to read the book. So I was kind of like, this is our first one.
Perfect. I know we're trying to do, I think we should definitely do that. Like last season we did
Schindler's List.
Yeah. For Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I think we should look up what each month is. I'm sure each month has something.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Isn't when's Women's History Month?
Oh yeah, when is that one?
March.
March. Okay.
So I fucked up for this year.
No, but that's okay. We have this season already planned, people, and we've jumped around so much. We will future seasons to come.
I'm going to be more aware, but I think out of the ones for me to have ignored for so long, I think Black History was one of my biggest downfalls in our scheduling, if I'm being completely honest.
You know what? The point is, though, that you caught it. And
yeah,
we're
I'm turning that around.
Yes. Yes. Very true. Mm-hmm. All right. So are we ready to have some super fun facts?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So, I mean, not all of these are fun. So
Jesus, like, yeah, this first one.
Yeah, this one I wouldn't qualify as
super fun facts. Let's go.
Okay.
Goodness.
So the tree where Solomon sees several men being lynched was actually used for lynching, and it is surrounded by the graves of murdered slaves, and that is just horrible.
Like, that's so sad.
They had to go and act on that. But, like, how much that must have added so much. I was
just going to say that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a very conscious decision on the director's part. Mm-hmm. And I think that was probably a smart decision because, like, it makes it heavy. It's right. also kind of honoring those who have fallen.
Right.
But damn, yeah. That's so sad.
Mm-hmm. Number two, director Steve McQueen had been toying with the idea of writing a script about slavery featuring a black man who had been born free and was later forced into slavery. But McQueen was struggling with the script until his wife found Solomon Northup's biography and gave it to him. Shocked that he had never heard of it, Northup before. He decided to adapt it into a book instead. Adapt the book instead.
Whatever. Let me rewrite your book into a book.
Yes. Sir Steve McQueen's daughter told him to hire Sarah Paulson after viewing her audition tape because she found her scary.
Wow.
Yeah. She was kind of scary.
Yeah, she drove me crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, she played the part well.
Yes, she did. Michael Kenneth Williams had an emotional breakdown while filming what eventually became a deleted scene in the movie. The stress of recreating such painful material caused him to collapse to the ground after a take where he screamed and cried for an extended period as one of the stunt coordinators comforted him.
Oh, that's so sad.
That's sad.
That's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. And number five, the one that Bree stole from me. This is not the first time that Solomon's story has been told on film. In 1984, director Gordon Parks premiered a made-for-television version entitled Solomon Northup's Odyssey.
Yep, so at some point we might do a mini-sode.
We sure might. Okay, shall we start?
Yeah, let's. I almost feel like...
You need to start.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. Movies that get adapted from a biography are hard, right? Because they're always going to try and add in some drama and add in movie flair. They did a really good job at sticking to the story for the most part with this one. There's a little bit that's different and some things that had to get changed to make things make sense. Uh-huh. If you start a movie how the book starts, where he's this free man, I feel like the impact wouldn't have been there. As yeah. much as it was.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, getting hit right in the face with the horror that he's going mm-hmm. through versus mm-hmm. la 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 la, I'm going to play my violin and be free.
Yeah. Yeah,
definitely different.
Yep. So the movie starts with Solomon already a slave and dealing with the horrors of being a slave.
Whereas in the book, we get all of Solomon's backstory, and he shared how he lives in the north, and that so he's a free man up there. He got married and has three kids, and I'll keep going because this is your next mm-hmm. so mm-hmm.
I will say that everything Allie is about to say does get mentioned and brought up at some point in the movie, and his backstory you do end up seeing in the movie, and I don't think much has changed from that. So
go
for it, Allie. Okay.
Northup lives in New York, which is why he was free. He had some buddies. I think they were white, right? White buddies. They were like, hey, we're going to go travel and play music.
Oh, yes, really yes. Yes, they weren't buddies. They were people that he met.
Okay.
That, like, saw him playing violin, and we're like, damn, you're good. We want to bring you with us.
We'll pay you type of thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they offered him money. He's like, I'm not sure, but okay, I'll just do it for a little bit. Well, it ended up being longer than he had planned. And at some point they're like, hey, we're going to go play in the South, but we got to go get your free papers so that you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. And they went out drinking, and he wrote that he got a major headache, and he assumes that he was drugged. And the next thing he knows, he woke up in handcuffs, locked in a room.
Yep, that happens.
Yep. When he woke up, he saw two men coming in, and he asked, why am I here? I'm a free man. And they said, no, you're not. We just bought you. You escaped from Georgia, because if someone buys a free man, bad, like, they could get in big, huge trouble. So they're like, no, you're not. You're a slave who escaped. And he kept denying it, but he kept getting beat. And they would ask him over and over to make sure. He's like, no, you're a slave. Yes. And he's like, no, I'm a free man. Continually beat over and over. Eventually, they brought out the whip, but he still claimed he was free. Finally, they put him with the other slaves that they have. And they there he spent time getting to know and learning all of their stories, which I did not write about. But the book goes into detail with a bunch of the stories.
Every single slave. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Pretty much this happens. You don't really get to know a whole heck of a lot of the slaves that are there. But the ones that like made an impact in Solomon's life in the book are there. Like, there was a slave who had two children with her, and I'm pretty sure you probably end up writing about this, so maybe I shouldn't say that part yet.
Yeah, the mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, there's key people who end up being in the movie from the book, even if we don't get everyone's story.
Yeah, but he did. He wrote about everybody, and he would, like, tell us, like, couple paragraphs, and then he'd be like, and then she died so and so later, and then a couple paragraphs about another one, and they made it to safety or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we continue to learn about Northup's relationship he made with the other slaves, and we learn about the horrible conditions he had to live in when he was with Birch, who was his master, the person that bought him and beat him. So they were all then brought to this place to be sold. And Northup accidentally said he's from New York, but quickly covered it up because, again, he didn't want to get beat. And there's this other guy there, and Northup got along with him because he also said he was a free man that got into the same situation. But unfortunately, he died a few days later. Remember,
no, this doesn't really happen. The thing that drove me crazy about the movie after reading the book was that he literally kept going and telling everyone that he was a free man, whereas in the book he got smart with it because he was like, shoot, no one's gonna believe me, and I can't be going and telling the other slaves this because then they will go and tell people that I don't need no one, because then they'll come and beat me. So he kept that close to the vest until he found people he thought he could trust.
Yeah.
In the movie, I swear every freaking person, they would come up to him and be like, we know about your situation.
Yeah,
right. I'd be like, what? How?
No, you don't.
Yeah.
So there's another guy who Birch was taking back to Washington, but eventually the slave escaped, and tell me if I'm wrong and I understood this wrong, because I'm just trying to remember. He made it to Northup's brother-in-law's house, at what point he was able to tell Northup, hey, I know where Solomon is. Here's the conditions he's in. There's not a whole lot we can do.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. That did happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how his family kept up, because for all they knew, he just disappeared. So this was how they figured out where he was.
In the movie, this does not happen, unfortunately.
No. Nope.
Which I think would have been a good thing, because I feel like the reunion scene at the end is a little too anticlimactic for my liking.
Yeah.
Like your dad was just gone for 12 years. You haven't seen him in 12 years. And you guys just like timidly walk up to, I mean, I get it too, because he's also, you know, not been in a free life for 12 years, but he's been dying to see you guys.
Right. Seriously. Okay. So all these slaves were sold that were being sold, were put on a boat, and Northup became like the chef on the boat, and like he became like a very useful to the people on the boat. And
he was smart.
Yes. They got to the land that they were going to, and this new guy comes, he bought all the slaves that were transferred, and Northup was given a new name, which he didn't know on the boat, which was Platt. That was what he's written down. So he's like, got some in trouble right off the bat because he didn't answer when his name was called, because he's like, that's not my name. And turns out it is now. Because they can do that because weird.
Because they're assholes.
Yes.
Yeah, that does happen in the movie.
Yep. So they were brought to a yard and dressed up nice because they were for sale. It was basically like people coming and examining horses. And one guy examined Platt and he was very interested in buying him, which Platt was super excited about because he lived in New Orleans. And this meant that he would be able to escape easier because I don't really know why, but he would. And then, but unfortunately, his seller would not take less than $1,500 for him, which was too much for the buyer. And then along came this guy.
Oh, he was excited about him being in New Orleans because he thought it would be easier to escape and get back to freedom.
I know, but why from New Orleans would it be easier?
Because there was like a river or something that went the whole way. So it would be easier to hide your tracks. Or something. Yeah. It was something like that. It might not have been a river.
I guess, you know what? Alligator's probably nothing compared to the...
I was just going to say.
Take on an alligator versus... that'd be horrible. Okay. So then came along a guy who wanted to buy Roland, which was one of Eliza's children. And so Eliza is a mom, and she has Roland and Emily. And we learned more about her back when we found out Northup was learning all about his fellow slaves. And so Eliza's sobbing, begging him, please buy Roland and Emily and me. But the buyer's like, that's too much. You can't afford that. Like, I'm just getting one kid. And she's, you know, distraught and feels horrible. And later then smallpox breaks out. They all had to go to the hospital until they were all cleared up. And when they went back to the yard, someone then came and bought Emily, and Eliza sobbed again, and they were gone. Her babies were gone. But then eventually someone came and got Platt, Eliza, and someone else. I don't remember who.
So in the movie, she doesn't see her kids getting bought off. She is bought, and she's like, please take my kids with me. Mm-hmm. And just like the person who bought the kids, they actually like thought about it and like talked to the person selling them if it was possible to get all three together. But just like in the book, he realized he couldn't, so he was like, sorry, it's just gonna be you three.
So the three of them started their new life with Master Ford, but they really liked him. He was kind to them, and he provided them with Bibles, and he read to them, and so that because he was being nice, they did as much work for him as they could. Kindness wins.
I really was glad, because when you watch this, it always like obviously an actor isn't going to turn down a role. Right. But when you see someone in a role where they are an absolute asshole.
Yeah.
In a situation like this where they are a master and they're beating people and are acting like they aren't people. It like it puts an ick with that actor for me. And so the first time I watched it and this time when I watched it, because like I kept being worried about who each person was.
Right.
But when Benedict Cumberbatch was the first one, I was like, oh, no, I can't remember if he's going to be good or not.
Right.
And I was really glad he was. So I was like, OK, you're the good guy who I wish Solomon ended up with the whole damn time.
Right. I know. Well, okay. That was another fun fact I almost put in. So the gal that plays Patsy that we'll get to later and whoever, whatever his name was, Ep, I think, Master Ep.
Oh, they, yeah.
He said they had an interview where any time before they would have a really rough scene together, they would like take a moment and like just stand there and like stare at each other. And like, I don't remember if they said like no words were said, but like basically good vibes were put between them. Aww. So that like they knew
no harm.
This is just an acting job. I don't believe this. I don't feel like this should have happened, and like just an honor, like to make sure that
they felt comfortable.
Yes. I just thought that was so sweet.
That's really sweet. Actually, that makes me, am I crazy? Is it Michael Fassbender? Who's that guy?
Yeah.
I love him as an actor, and like, yeah, he plays Magneto, so he's an asshole in that, but I literally watch him in anything he does because I love him so much. But then I watch him in this, and obviously he's a great actor because he makes me go, ew, gross, I hate you, you're a horrible human being. But now knowing that, I'm like, okay, actually you were just taking this role seriously, and you did a very good job. And that makes me actually very happy that he did that with her, because their scenes were fucking rough.
They were awful. Yes, I agree. Platt got sold, which he was really sad about, because, okay, did he get sold, or was this, so in the movie, he is like being lent, right?
Yeah, that's really, it's because it's literally like, it's to the freaking plantation right next door.
Okay.
It's, so I couldn't completely understand how it happened. I just know that he was technically Mr. Ford's, but he was in Epp's care. And that's why he sometimes still got to go back to Ford's place.
Okay. All right. Okay. So he's now sold to Tibbetts, or that's just the helper.
That's the helper. Yeah.
Okay. So he's Epp's, and Tibbetts is on Epp's plantation.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well,
why do I feel like there was one more master in the book than in the movie?
So you think Tibbetts was the master?
Kind of. As we read, as we go through your notes, I'll be able to figure it out.
Okay. So he says he's the best slave that he's ever had, but yet he continually beats him each night. And one day while he was working on this project, he did everything that Tibbetts told him to do. But then Tibbetts is super pissed off. He's like, you did this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. And he's like, I did it exactly how you told me. And so he goes to get the whip, but Platt's like, I don't deserve that. So instead he grabs the whip and wrestles him to the ground and starts beating him instead. You guys, also, the reason I keep using Platt, even though that's not his real name, is because that's what he used in the book.
I feel like Platt became his... Platt was the slave. Solomon was the free man.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. So, later that night, guys come from neighboring plantations, and they're getting ready to hang him. But then here comes Ford out with guns saying, you need to leave because I'm in charge of these slaves. And it's my responsibility to keep them alive.
Yep, that happens.
Mm-hmm. All right, so he... Oh, yeah, because, okay. So they weren't getting ready to hang him. They legit started to hang him. Mm-hmm. And see, but this doesn't make sense. I don't think Ford came out and did this. Someone else came out and said, get off my plantation, or the plantation, because Ford would not... Did Ford leave him? That doesn't make sense to me. I think someone came out saying, you need to leave because I'm in charge of these, and it's Ford, so Ford's slaves. So it was the owner of the plantation.
It was the, yeah, you're right. You're right. It was like the handyman.
Okay.
Or I can't remember. The right hand man guy.
Uh-huh. But I know it's not Ford, because Ford would not do this. He was just then left there. Yeah. He is literally hanging by his neck, but like his toes are on the ground, so he's not being hung. Mm-hmm. And he's tied up. And he's just hanging there, going about his day. And women slaves come and give him water, but they have to sneak it or they can get in trouble. And then finally Ford comes and saves him from the tree. So I don't know who originally stopped them, but it was not Ford. So he's like,
shoot, I can't even remember in the movie.
Right, because it happens just like that in the movie.
It does. And the only time you see Ford is when he, like, after he's been cut down and he drags him into the house.
Yeah. Saves Google. Mr. Chapin, an overseer for his kind master, William Ford.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So like we said.
Yeah. Got to give him credit. He saved his life.
Yeah.
All right. So, Ford has him come in, and he's like, you're going to sleep in here because Tippett's out there, and he's going to come and try and kill you. Eventually, the night goes on, and he's like, okay, we have to get you off of this plantation because Tippett's going to come back, and he's going to try and kill you no mm-hmm. matter what. So... yeah, here's the other master. So they were given to Ford's brother-in-law, and he's this very religious man, but he took the Bible and reading the Lord's name as him, not Jesus, because in the Bible, you know, it might say master or something like that. So he is basically saying that he himself is Jesus, the Lord. A couple of... So a couple of the younger boys, slaves, were eating watermelon on a Sunday. So he locked them up because they broke Sabbath. So they begged Platt to let them go while the master was gone. He agreed, but they had to get back in. So they're just showing ways that slaves survived.
You only really see how Epps is abusing the Bible for the slaves. And it's like stark contrast to Ford, who literally like held services for them mm-hmm. and like would read them a sermon and didn't treat them as if they weren't people and like read the Bible verses as they are. Whereas he very much so is like, you hear that? This is what it says. It means you are property.
Yeah. Basically, he was warned he needs to be careful because Tibbetts is like bananas and he has to work with him one on one at some point again to finish building the house or whatever he's building. But this time Tibbetts is there and he grabs an axe and he's going to go to slice open Platt's head. But Platt was able to fight him and run away.
This part, I swear when I read it, I was like, oh yeah, I remember this scene. This scene did not happen.
No, it did not.
No. Him running away was basically when they were getting him to hang him.
Yeah.
He tried to run at that point, but they got him, obviously.
Yep. Well, as he's running, he tries to figure out the likelihood of him surviving because he has to run through alligator land and the dogs are after him and all sorts of stuff like this. And the reason that a lot of slaves don't escape is because they're not told how to swim, like taught how to swim. But he's a free man, so he knew how. So he's like, okay, maybe I can be successful at this. So he escaped, but he went back to the Fords. Because if he's found by a white family, they're probably going to turn him in to Tibbett anyways. So he knew he'd be safe with the Fords, but he looks really disheveled and he didn't look like himself. And Miss Fords didn't even recognize him when he asked for Mr. Ford.
That does not happen.
Nope. So at some point, Mr. Tippett came back, but he felt safe now, so it's okay. So later, someone bought Platt, and he was so grateful. Maybe he rented it.
It started out as he was just going over to play the violin for him, but then Tippett got so pissed off at him that he was like, go. I sold you.
Okay. So Tippett was still, like you just said, so involved. So he decided to go visit this other guy that rented him and said he was doing such a good job. He could go visit his friends on a different plantation. Tippett hated this idea, but he went and he came back and he ended up being bought by someone else. Platt was so excited, but terrified because he finds out that this guy just whips slaves for fun. And this is Epp, right? That's where he got sold to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so he's now working on this cotton field and he whips them until they get as much as they can every day. So he's like, he figures out, okay, if I whip you, you're going to try really, really, really hard. And now I know your baseline, which means now you have to pick that much cotton or more every day. And that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's not as many people buying and selling in the movie. Mm-mm. There's literally just Ford and Epp. Like, Tippett is a character, but he's not ever someone who owns anyone. And then the rest of this happens.
Yep. So Platt got super sick at one point. He's like to the point where he really thought he was going to die. And the only reason that Epps got a doctor was because it cost him $1,000. Like, that's like your property, like your work. I don't know how to describe it. If you die, I'm out $1,000. I'm not having that type of thing.
Yeah.
Horrible. The only reason. That's the only reason. Not to save a human life. Just, I'm going to be out $1,000.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
Yeah, right? So as he was deemed somewhat okay, he was sent picking cotton plants. So he sucked, though. He was not good at picking cotton. But he practiced for a couple days and he got a little bit better, but not good enough. So he was then deemed a log cutter and he worked there instead and he cut wood.
Yep, that happens.
So Epps would beat them even worse when he was drunk and he would like dance and play games with them, but they would still and like make them stay awake late into the night just because he wanted to have someone to entertain him, but he would still make them wake up early and go out and work the next day. And so he was on this plantation for 10 of the 12 years. Oh, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was new slaves that joined and this is our author giving another information about all these slaves because he's amazing and says, you know, thinks that every person deserves their story. And he wrote down everything he could remember. I thought that was so cool.
I know. I thought that was sweet.
So one of the slaves is Patsy. She came from another place, but she had it way rougher here. So Epps would have his way with her. And his wife was pissed, naturally. So she got whipped and like just beat and everything by both parties. So whereas, you know, all the other slaves only got whipped by Epps, she then got beat by and things thrown at her by Epps's wife as well, because why is my man sleeping with you?
So stupid. Pissed at your husband, not her.
Literally. She's literally being raped.
And yeah.
Now
she's it's not like she wants to be in that relationship.
Right. Seriously.
That does happen in the movie. Except for you never see the wife do anything to her. She always just wants the husband. She's like, you favor her.
She at one point threw something and smashed her in the head pretty good. And then another point smacked her. But yeah, it was described as her pretty much beating the crud out of her all the time in the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so we then learn about Christmas time in slavery and how they're allowed 3 to 6 days to celebrate Christmas, depending on how their what their master feels. So they usually have these big Christmas parties, and one plantation hosts for like all the plantations around, and the slaves just go and gather. And they also have the option to work on those days and get paid, but many don't. They're like, screw that. I work. I don't need money. I'm good. Platt is amazing at the violin, which is, you know, unfortunately how he became in this situation. So he plays at all the parties, though. And even the white people there just are like, wow, you're really good. I'm going to hire you and you're going to play for our parties. And he gets paid by doing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That doesn't like super happen. He just keeps going back and forth between Epps's and Ford's plantations.
Yeah.
To play violin.
Yep.
And we don't find anything out about Christmas in the movie.
Not really. No. Mm-hmm. Well, then we get a whole chapter detailed on how sugar fields and cotton fields are harvested.
That obviously does not happen in the movie. We take a short intermission to describe this.
That would be so interesting. Like a documentary starts rolling. So Platt wants to get a letter to his family, but he doesn't really know how to go about this because, you know, slaves can't post office. They aren't supposed to write. They aren't supposed to read and all this sort of stuff. So they aren't given paper. They aren't given ink and pen. But eventually he made his own. And he was able to talk someone into going to post it for him. The man's like, promise you won't tell anyone. He's like, yeah, yeah, I won't. So, but of course, you know, being a white man wouldn't. Told. And so luckily Platt had a really good alibi, so he did not get in trouble. But he was also he's such a good worker and a good slave that he's given responsibilities such as beating the other slaves. And that sucks.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's horrible. Like, you're already putting them through shit, but now you're making them put their colleagues through that same shit.
Yeah.
Man, fuck. I'm trying to make our history.
Horrible person as them. Like, that's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. This part doesn't happen. There is one scene where they make Platt whip Patsy. Mm-hmm. Other than that, he's never given or responsibility.
Yeah, but the dude, they did have the, like, the white guy went.
Oh, yeah, my bad. Sorry, I forgot about that part. They did have the white guy.
Why is he on a farm or plantation?
He's just a traveling, like, handyman who randomly goes and oh, wait, no.
He got whipped, too.
No, he was a slave. He was a slave. He had too many debts that he owed or something.
Okay. But he was white, so he was able to go to the post office and stuff.
Well, they gave him, what, a freaking cabin, and, like, he didn't have to be where all the other slaves were. Yeah. That's a difference, because in the book, it wasn't a slave.
I didn't think it was.
No, it was just a traveling handyman, dude.
Okay.
That's why I said that. I forgot about that. Yeah.
So we get details on why it's so difficult for slaves to escape. Because a lot of people are always on the lookout for runaways. So it's not like they can just jump plantation to plantation because they're on the lookout there, too. So there's this one girl that was a very fair-skinned African-American, and people were like, you're not a slave. We don't believe you that you're a slave. She had to keep moving, and eventually the dogs ended up going after her, because she was trying to hide. But people wouldn't help save her, like, or something like this. I don't remember really what happened, but she was a runaway slave. And at one point, the soldiers come in, not soldiers, people come in and start killing a bunch of slaves because they were worried some might be runaways, even though many weren't. And plantation owners are pissed and because all their slaves are dying because they went and killed a bunch of them because they. It was just a horror story about slavery, basically. It wasn't necessarily about Solomon or anything.
Yeah, that doesn't happen in the movie.
No. So Platt shares about. maybe? Yes, beating.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yep. So, the most intense speeding he had seen. That car was going so fast.
I need to make time to fix my nose. This is ridiculous. Okay. It's Patsy because, of course, it is. And she's getting beat because the missus wants him to beat her. But he says no because he doesn't want to get mad. Oh, she told Solomon or Platt to beat her. And he's like, no, because Epps didn't tell me to beat her. So then she was pissed. So Monday they couldn't find Patsy and they went to a neighboring plantation to visit and there they found her and the Master Epps is super pissed. He ended up, she had to come home and he tied her naked and like roped her down and eventually like beat her and whipped her. And he basically filleted her, but so then he told Platt to go back, help clean her up. But she was never the same after that. And like even Epps's 11-year-old boy took pride and excitement in whipping the slaves. That's just so sad.
In the movie, Epps didn't have a son.
Nope.
But Patsy's beating does happen. And this is when Epps makes Solomon partake in the whipping of a slave.
Okay. So then we've new character comes to town and his name is Bass.
Do you know how happy I was when it was Brad Pitt? Yes. When I saw that Brad Pitt was in it, I was like, fuck, he's going to be one of the assholes, isn't he? And then he was this one. And I was like, oh, good.
Yes. So he likes to debate all sorts of things. And so one thing he really likes to debate with white folk is if it should be illegal to have slaves. And since, you know, from the Constitution and blah, 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 all the reasons that slaves should not be legal, he was like, hey, I'm gonna fight you on this. So Bass is hired as a contractor to help build up Platt's master's house, Epps's house. And he knew he had to talk to him because he could tell that he was like someone he could trust. So he had talked to him one-on-one and he started naming off different parts of Canada because Platt was from New York area. And Bass is like, holy cow, how do you know this? And he's like, I am a free man, got drugged down here 12 years ago. And he asks, please, can I write a letter and you mail it? And these people will come help me and bring me my free papers. Weeks and weeks and weeks have passed since Bass helped him and he's heard nothing. Finally, it was the last day that Bass would be working on the farm and Platt felt so defeated, but he was able to get one more one-on-one time with Bass and he's like, please, can I write another letter and you take it? And he's like, no, because it looks suspicious when I'm going to the post office because I go every couple days hoping someone would like reply to your letter and nothing's happening. So at that point, you know, Solomon is just like, I'm here forever.
Yeah. Well, in the movie, basically, this conversation happens. Bass is gone from the plantation the next day. And then the next day, Platt is saved.
Yes.
So there's no suspense. No. But I mean, could you imagine with everything else that already had happened in the movie if this part happened?
I know. And I mean, you this just is feel the end of the book. Defeated. They just sped up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So it's Christmas time. They all celebrated. Platt ended up like sleeping in. So he's about 15 minutes late for work and he got whipped. But soon came his savior. A police officer came and question him about who he was, and that people claim he was free. And it turns out people from his childhood met him and they reconnected. They met with Bass. They reconnected and he was able to leave. His Epps was pissed. He demanded to tell say who sent that letter, but he didn't share the information and he got to walk out a free man.
Pretty much all of that happens except for the Christmas time and 15 minutes late.
And then they share a whole chapter about him chatting with the cops and getting those kidnappers and or trying to. I don't think they ever mm-hmm. got him, if I remember correctly.
Well, they freaking got off. They went to trial, or they quote unquote went to trial. But basically they got lawyers, and because they were white, they didn't even have to go to trial. It was like, so you guys did wrong, but we don't even care to even put you through this.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and he was trying to make things right for other slaves. So that's one of the reasons he wrote this book, is to help share his story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that does happen in the movie.
Sweet. All right. We have 101 people cast for this movie.
Mm-hmm. That's actually a small number.
It is, yeah.
I would think for all the plantations there would be more, but I guess they didn't show that many.
You guys.
Chiwetel.
Thank you.
GO4.
Okay. Played Solomon Northrup.
I loved him.
I did too.
He's so good.
Yep, I agree. He was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Kenneth Williams plays Robert. Not sure who that was, but I think it was one of the slaves.
And he was one of your fun facts, so we have to talk about
him. I had to talk about him. He did good. I left him in there.
Yeah. Yeah, he did good. Scoot McNairy plays one of the guys who took Solomon and sold him.
Mm, okay.
He is a jerk.
Yes.
But I love him so much. He's such a good actor.
Okay. Paul Giamatti played Freeman, who was the first guy that...
I love Paul, too.
I know. There were a lot of good actors in this movie.
There really were.
Did it win the Oscar or just nominated?
It won.
Oh, good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Benedict Cumberbatch played Ford.
Love him.
Me too.
I was, like I said, I was so glad he was a good guy.
I agree.
Even though he wasn't really a good guy, but he was a good guy.
Yes. Okay. Paul Dano is Tibbetts.
Yeah, I love him, and I was so sad that he was an asshole in this movie, too.
That you keep saying you love.
What's funny is you're going to watch him in Dumb Money this season.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have not.
He's also... did you... you never saw Robert Pattinson's Batman.
I have not. Who is he?
He's the bad guy in it.
Oh. Who's the bad guy? Which one? Which?
Riddler.
Oh, okay. Michael Fassbender?
Mm-hmm.
Played Epps.
I am so glad to know that he took time with Lupita to get in a good headspace for their scenes, because that makes me feel so good.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
He did really good, because like I said, he makes me feel icky when I watch him in this.
I agree. Sarah Paulson played Mistress Epps.
And she also made me feel icky when I watched this.
Yep, I agree. Lupita
Nyong'o
played Patsy.
I love her so much.
Yeah, she was really good.
Mm-hmm. She did really good. I'm pretty sure she won Best Actress.
Oh, good. She deserved it. If not, she...
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it was nominated.
12 Years a Slave, like, freaking landslide that year won.
It should have, so...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, she's in Black Panther. Oh, yeah. I was mm-hmm. like, oh, mm-hmm. where do I know her from? Star Wars?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the kids and I? Tyler is obsessed with Star Wars right now. Just
fuck yeah.
So like,
fuck yeah.
We just watched all the first three, or the mm-hmm. original three.
And so proud.
Yes. Last night, of course, it's like late. He's like, can we watch Star Wars? And I was like, well, we have to go to bed, but we must watch Star Wars. I was like, maybe tomorrow. So... But anyways.
Yes. I am so happy for you. Star Wars is so freaking great.
I know. I feel so bad. Like, but because I don't know, I can't answer questions. I'm like, oh, well, let's see. But
that's when you text me.
Okay. Well, no, it's so cool. Now we have to go back to Disney. Well, not that we mm-hmm. didn't before, but now Tyler's obsessed. So he, like, we did Star Wars. We did, like, you know, the couple rides in Star Wars Land.
Yeah.
And then we really only did it at nighttime. Like, we wandered through to get to the rides mm-hmm. and then left. So we didn't ever really explore it a whole lot. But now Tyler's so cute. He's like, Darth Vader came on. He's like, oh, he lives at Disneyland. I was like, yes, he does live at Disneyland. And then he said,
that's amazing.
Yeah, he said something like, I don't know what character, but he's like, so-and-so. Oh, R2-D2. And he's like,
oh my God, Allie.
No, I didn't. It wasn't, I couldn't remember what R2-D2's name was. I was trying to remember what character he was talking about. Because at one point he was talking about Yoda. At one point he was talking about someone else. So, but.
Okay. You're saying so-and-so. And then you're like, oh wait, no, it's R2-D2. I was like,
no, because so he's like, I want to go find R2-D2 too. And I was like, I don't know if they have R2-D2 at Disney. Do they?
Go on the Star Tours.
Okay.
Because he's in the first part with 3PO.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And so, but he's just so obsessed. He wants to go back to Star Wars Land. And I was like, did you know you can, like, make little droids and take them? They're like, what? And I was like, we watched
people. You can make a fucking lightsaber.
I know. I was like, we watched people make them. But, like, they didn't care about Star Wars back then, so they didn't know. And I was like, oh, we got to go. And we got to go with Aunt Brie. And she'll show us
fuck
all
yeah.
Star Wars Land.
Fuck yeah. I absolutely will. I still haven't rode. There is one ride there that I haven't rode. That's Star Wars, because the last time I went, it wasn't made yet. They were in the process of building it.
The one you're talking about has mm-hmm. over an hour wait every single time.
Uh-huh. That's the exact, like, literally, if you want to get the lightning pass for it, you have to wake up super fucking early yeah. and get in that queue. And you best believe I will sit in that hour long wait yeah. because I've heard it's one of the best rides ever.
It is.
And I surprisingly have not been spoiled on what the fuck it is.
Oh, OK.
And it's been so anything. Many fucking years. Yeah, please don't. Because from what I've been told, everyone who finds out that I haven't been on it goes, oh, fuck, I can't tell you anything about it. You're going to love it. I'm like,
it is good.
I just want to go on it so bad.
Okay, we should make a trip.
Please, I would love that. Are you kidding me? I always am down for Disney.
All right. Anyways, back to our serious movie and story.
Yeah,
not
wow.
Disney at all. Oh my gosh. Okay. Then we got Brad Pitt as Bass.
Oh, I loved him as Bass.
Yes.
He did so good.
Yep. Is the theme of the book and movie the same?
Absolutely. Yep. I'm actually also impressed. I thought there was way more differences, but then as we were going through, I was like, oh no, it's just done cinematically.
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. Do the characters stay true?
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. What do you prefer?
I prefer the movie.
I think I do too.
Mm-hmm. I didn't dislike the book, but I feel like the book was a bit heavier.
Yes, I agree.
Because it's easier to watch the true story than to actually, like, read the words, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if that was it for me, because I understand the, like, true part in it being hard, but watching it was so hard to watch.
Mm-hmm. But it's a hard story all around, no yeah. matter what.
But I feel like it was, because it's a movie, more mm-hmm. not entertaining, like, oh, that's fun, but entertaining, like, keeps my attention more.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. So that's why I chose it.
Yeah.
Would you recommend it to a friend?
I would, actually. Book and movie.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely preface it with, this might take you a while to read because it, I don't know, true stories, autobiographies, they're a bit harder for me to get through quickly.
Yes.
And I just assume everyone else is like me, but I would be like, it's a good story. That's almost unbelievable because of all the shit that happens to him.
Yeah. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay.
All right. We have a sneak peek for you all. Did you guys know that we have a website that is now updated?
It is. It's ready for you. Yeah.
Go check it out.
Like all of it. I updated the, let's see, where is it? Just pulling it up on my computer. I updated the schedule, which I noticed last night as I was scrolling through. For some reason, when you switch it, I can switch between when editing mobile versus computer. There is a mistake in the mobile I need to fix, but on the computer it is correct. Oh. So
whoops. Oh well.
That's okay. And then
it happens.
Even our theory is updated, you guys. So you can go and see the latest season 7, all the info.
Check it out.
Favorites. Yes.
It's gonna be good.
Yeah.
But that website is offscript253.wixsite.com/offscript.
Yes, it is.
Because we just tell you to go check it out.
Go check it out. Guess what it is. No, if you don't know by now, come on. You can rate, subscribe, review while you're there.
That's the best and easiest way to help us out.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Share our episodes.
Exactly.
Rate them. Have everyone else rate them.
Yes. And Wednesday, by our how good we're doing, I'm thinking we will have a mini-sode for you.
I actually think so, too. I don't know what it's going to be about, but we will be in your ears to just chit-chat randomly, maybe play a game, maybe just tell you about our life and what's going on in our life.
Yes.
Who knows?
If you have an idea of a mini-sode you would like us to do, please
let us know.
Yes.
That would be great.
Yep.
We would absolutely adore that.
I agree.
Or if you catch something that we missed in any of the previous episodes, since we are now recording our mini-sodes pretty much like weekly,
yeah,
we can actually in real time correct ourselves,
which was the whole point in the first place.
Mm-hmm. So help us out if we missed anything.
Yes. And Monday we have Cyrano de Bergerac.
Oh, such a good one. I enjoy this one a lot, actually.
Cool.
Okay. All right. Well, everyone, with that, 12 Years a Slave
went off script. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shout outs to Madam Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticism to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze
for Book Tales.